Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. From Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Dear listener, this is a marvelous statement about the Word of God and of Christ. Now these are troublesome times for our people. I suppose that such could be said to some extent in every generation and in every nation, because trouble seems to be the companion of the human family wherever that family is found, Job 14, verses 1 and 2. But it is certainly true of our time. There is sin in high places and low. We suffer from the problems imposed by alcoholic beverages, low morality, disintegration of the family, illegitimate births, abortions, divorce, an ever-increasing crime rate and pornography, evolution that teaches us that we're only materialistic animals, and many other plagues upon humanity. And while many in the nation profess to be religious, how many are religious and righteous also, even to seeing the need of being righteous? Friend, the nation's very fiber that holds us together as a free people is under attack from both within and from without, and even in places of governmental power. The devil is enjoying prosperity in this land of the free and the home of the brave, and now with some justification we can call it the land of the freaks and the homes of the knaves. Possibly such can be said of every nation, and possibly of every previous generation. But what happens elsewhere and at other times is not so much our concern as to what happens where we are and where we live and where our descendants shall probably live. In Proverbs 14 and verse 34, it is still true that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Psalm 9 verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Galatians 6, 7, and 8, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now these conditions that I have mentioned, they certainly mean that these are trying times for God's people, those who compose the Lord's church. So many things in religion generally are alarming. There are divisions and contradictions and compromises, at times as open rebellion, and a surrender to the ways of the devil within the ranks of those who profess to be religious. Many religious leaders are nothing more than charlatans, and they are money grabbers, hypocrites that prey upon the ignorant and superstitious with the blind masses. Much of the religion is sensationalism and emotionalism. This feel-good-ism, being promoted by false doctrines, offering false hopes and false security. Even materialistic appeals are used in religion. And even in the Lord's church, there exists a strong and determined element that wishes to change the church and to make it like the denominations round about, rather than the church of which you read in the Scriptures. The partaking of the sins of the world by those who are members of the church is so commonplace that anyone who stands up and speaks out for the truth on these matters is usually branded as some kind of unloving radical. The liberal, digressive, worldly, permissive compromises, alongside the lethargy and the indifference and the biblical ignorance and the unfaithfulness and rebellion, under the inexcusable weakness of leaders and teachers, all of that is taking a deadly toll among those who say they follow the Bible. The church as revealed in the Bible is generally unnoticed in the world. Now, this is not a put-down of the church. It is simply a statement of historical reality. It reflects the degree of contempt and disdain that the world holds toward the Lord's church. And because of this, some clamor for changing the church to be more acceptable and popular with the world. But it remains true that most historians write about the church only in terms of denominationalism, evidently revealing their ignorance of the church that revealed in the Bible. The church of the Bible, if mentioned at all, demands nothing more than a passing footnote or a subtopic. Because men love darkness rather than light, the church of the Bible is often not a very powerful force in our world, and is only a slight power in molding national morality. A sad commentary is that too many in the church have mimicked the world and fashionable religions, rather than imitating faithful and scriptural doctrine. Churches of Christ have, in many instances, lost the distinctiveness that ought to characterize it because they've adopted the promotional gimmicks and gadgets, with emphasis on men and human methods, and the expansive machinations rather than the inspired message. As one has commented, when one looks like a duck, waddles like a duck, quacks like a duck, has a bill like a duck, it's not surprising that he is taken for just another duck. Such has become a millstone around the neck of the Lord's church over the past few decades of liberal digression. God places emphasis, however, on the message to cure the ills of mankind. It is the blood and the heartbeat of the prosperity of the church. The Word is living and active and sharp and powerful, never out of date nor irrelevant, as some would have people to believe. The problem with man and the Bible is that the Bible is untaught, it's unknown, it's misrepresented, it's disbelieved, it's untried, it's unwanted. But all of this, as tragic as it is, in no way discounts the fact that the Word of God is the way of salvation and provides the solution for mankind and his problems. Paul tells us that the world considers the gospel foolishness, but it is still the message of God to man to solve what ails him. Too often the preaching heard is nothing but pretty platitudes designed to please the hearer, more akin to a humorous after-dinner speech intending to entertain, fill the time, go through the motions, provide a pep talk with guarded manipulations of people, running over with super promotions and emotions, telling people what they want to hear rather than what God says they need to hear. How many who call themselves preachers are really just psychology counselors whose counsel is what they learn from some seminary or in some school, often stained with humanism and modernism rather than the Word of God? Much that people hear is long on the personality of the preacher and his ego, and short of the message of God. Friend, by their fruit ye shall know them. We can see the fruit that's being produced. The solution to man's ills and the growth of the church is the gospel preached, heard, believed, obeyed, and lived. The church is composed of the saved. The gospel is God's power unto salvation, Romans 1:16. The basic problem of man is sin. Just consider what you hear and see on the news night after night. There's war, theft, abortion, AIDS, poverty, murder, problem after problem. More often than not, at the root of it is a transgression of God's moral teaching. But so few want anything said or done that would really correct or even improve the low morals and degenerate conduct of the populace. What does the church do in these trying times? And as often as not, many have tried to find a way for God to accept all of this, regardless of his stated hatred of every false way. The church has developed a clergy class of professionals, a staff, giving titles and positions just like the decayed and decaying denominations, satisfying the ego of first this one and that one, making each one appear to be somewhat. Many look upon the preachers as simply hired help, being paid as much for what they will not say as for what they say. They ought to be as the prophets of God, however, proclaiming his message without fear, without favor to anyone, to everyone, anywhere and everywhere. When people taking off into the field of church growth, we see that they think they've discovered some kind of special secret that nobody has ever known until they came along. Dear listening friend, hear me and hear me well. There is no secret as to what makes the Lord's church grow. It is the preaching of the gospel to those whose hearts are honest and open to the truth. What do you say when someone asks you, how can we make the church grow? Friend, do not be swept away by the special experts, the promotional programs, the big boom and bust extravaganzas that appeal to the fleshly lust of people to be coddled and entertained. Talk rather about the preaching of the gospel in its purity and in simplicity without compromise, both positively and negatively. That is the way the church grew after it began. The young and restless, the wise and the scholarly of our day have not, will not, and cannot improve upon that, regardless of all of their hot air that boast of big crowds. That which is taught must be the old gospel of the Bible. We cannot solve problems with a social gospel that concentrates only on the physical. The social gospel is insipid and anemic. The ways of Dale Carnegie cannot replace the gospel. Such might woo and win members, but it will not convert and change the person into favor with God. That which denies the Word, or denies the reality of heaven and hell, that contends there's no right or no wrong, that there's no eternity, but only the here and now, that cannot help mankind, but can only contribute to the deepening of man's problems. Social reform without spiritual regeneration is cosmetic. It's like putting a Band-Aid on a cancer. It may make somebody feel good and think they're doing something worthwhile, but it's just show. Men need to be converted, and only the Word of God can do that. How tragic it is that many become malcontent with the gospel and seek something new rather than contending for what is true. How many times are we warned not to tamper with, add to, take from, nor alter in any way what God has said? How often are we assured that we must do what God has said and do it with divine authority? But how many really pay serious attention to what the Bible tells us? The gospel heard must be the simple gospel, 1 Corinthians 1 and chapter 2 as well. There's no room for the demonstrations of alleged personal genius and ego manifestations. So many are impressed with some man, not the message. This may be why some seem overwhelmed with a desire to impress others that they are the wise men, but are not really gospel preachers on the cutting edge in the battle for the souls on God's side. The result of such as this, friend, has produced in our time a horrendous digression, a compromise of truth and an apostasy. We again send forth a warning concerning the dangerous emphasis on that which is called the highly schooled and educated clergy. No, this is not an anti-education or anti-intellectual statement. But the so-called self-proclaimed scholar is probably the one who most likely would like to leave the truth and follow the paths of his own so-called wisdom. We have known of elderships who have restricted their inquiries for gospel preachers only to those who have some kind of super degree from some school. Now, lest some think that sour grapes, I have my degrees, but so what? How long does it take what seems to be otherwise intelligent people to realize that the theological knowledge does not necessarily mean biblical knowledge? Some are ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 7. It is because they are ever learning the philosophies and doctrines of men rather than the doctrine of Christ. Do you realize that the standard some churches use for their preachers would disqualify most of the apostles, who were called unlearned men, that is, not having formal schooling of the day? The apostles were not uninformed nor lacking in intelligence. They just did not fill themselves with what men thought, and then declared themselves the experts. Just listen to some preachers stalking about like proud peacocks boasting of degrees, seeking to display their irrelevant learning, using high-sounding words to impress the little man in the pew, showing more what they do not know about the Scriptures than what they know. Three men were listening to one who's these stuffed shirts, and one of them turned to another and said, "What is that man talking about?" And the second said, "He doesn't say." And the third overheard them and commented, but he must be smart. I don't understand the thing he's saying. Friend, if brethren would return to the good day when they sought preachers and teachers who knew the book, loved the book, lived the book, taught the book, and put the hay down where the calves are, the church would avoid many ills that would solve many others. The gospel preached must be the certain and sound gospel. We're not just to preach a way. We're to preach the way. Many are proclaiming doubt and maybe souls and speculations. Some are even contending that nobody can really know anything for sure. Isn't it strange how that they're so sure? Nobody can know anything for sure. Dear listening friend, we need people who will speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4:11. Using sound the words that cannot be condemned, Titus 2, verse 1 and 8, with certainty and clarity, speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4 and verse 15, without ambiguity, not double-tongued with uncertainties derived from the doctors of philosophy and human misrepresentation. Some say we cannot know anything for certain, but that is the best we can do is just strive for the truth. And I ask, how do they know that? They are so certain about that being true. Friend, I tell you, any philosophy such as that, that shoots itself in the foot, is not worth following. Those that advocate such nonsense ought to be marked and branded for what they are: false teachers, servants of the devil, dividers of brethren, deceivers of men. Truth is revealed. Truth is available. Truth is within our ability to know it and to live it. Search the Scriptures. Read John 8 and verse 32. Read 1 John 2 and verse 2, and know that we can know. Ephesians 3, 3 and 4, we can understand the mystery of God. The gospel that is the solution to the ills of mankind must be the militant gospel of Christ, being taught both positively and negatively, being the whole counsel of God. No, this does not give license to be ugly or to be deliberately offensive to anybody. But let us understand that truth offends those who don't want it and don't love it. And while we're not to be a contentious people, just out looking for a fight or trying to pick a fight, we must realize that a fight is being waged between truth and error, and the Lord and Satan, righteousness and unrighteousness, they're on opposite sides, and it's our task to be soldiers of the cross and to fight the good fight. The timid, the passive, the soft approach, as if one is ashamed of the gospel, is not what pleases the Lord. We're to contend for the faith as with fixed bayonets, because we're in an eternal life or an eternal death struggle for ourselves and our children and our neighbors and all those around us. Yes, dear listener, the solution to man's ills is never to be found in the field of politics or economics or secular education or military power, and not even just religion per se. And while each of these may have certain contributions, they do not contain what man needs. Man's problem is sin. And God has provided the only answer there is to that problem, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, John 8, verse 14 and verse 6, Acts 4 and verse 12. Therefore, each one of us needs to be a promoter, a defender, and a participant in the way of Christ if he truly wishes to make significant contributions to the solutions of the ills of mankind. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.